The Steve Nash Showdown is going on tonight, a charity soccer match featuring NBA and pro soccer players down in New York. You can stream it online for the first time starting at 6 p.m. stevenash.org/showdown. And our next guest is down there. He's going to be a big part of it. We've had him on the show many times before. ESPN NBA analyst. Here is Amin El-Hassan. Amin, how you doing, man?
How's it going, gentlemen?
We're doing really well. Thank you for doing this. I know it's a busy time. The NBA is keeping us on our toes. Can you recall a 3 or 4 day stretch like the one we've seen with all of this activity and all of these rumors?
It's different this year because we typically don't have the general manager switch 2 days before the draft of a three-time finalist and a team that was a year after they win the championship to the day, they part ways with the general manager. That's really rare. And so the combination of that, and then, you know, we're having a lively trade season leading up to the draft, which I think happens a lot. I think people just tend to always feel like when things happen, like, oh, this is so crazy, it's never happened before. That happens. But when you combine it with the news of David Griffin leaving the Cavs and perhaps Chauncey Billups taking his place, that's what makes this year a little crazier.
Am I to believe that LeBron is serious when he says he had no knowledge of the GM being dismissed? I find that very hard to believe.
That is absolutely 100% true. He was not consulted. He was not even under the... I don't think he was even under the impression that this was something that could happen. And I think it really highlights kind of a fallacy of what people have believed that LeBron has had his run of the roost in Cleveland, when the truth is LeBron and David Griffin kind of operated in tandem, but the owner does what the owner wants to do. And it's not like this is so out of character for him to do something boneheaded, to do something rash, and to do something, quite frankly, that really doesn't jive with what his franchise player or, to be honest, anyone else in that locker room felt. And so 100%, I think LeBron was caught off guard, and you can look no further than that tweet that he sent out. He said, David Griffin, thank you, and I appreciate what you did, even if not everybody here did. That's a clear shot at the owner, saying that you obviously did not appreciate all of the things that this man did for this organization if your decision was to part ways with him.
With ESPN NBA analyst Amin El-Hassan, well, a lot of people trying to connect some dots, a lot of speculation, a lot of hypotheticals out there, sticking with Cleveland. Reports coming out last night that Jimmy Butler has told the Cavs, don't bother pursuing me, I don't want to leave. I don't want to come to Cleveland, I'd rather stay in Chicago. And my mind immediately began to spin, I'm sure I'm not alone in this, that Butler was reading a situation and he's expecting that LeBron's going to bounce in a year. And he's out, and if he leaves, Kyrie Irving's going to leave. What's your take out of this Jimmy Butler story and the idea that he doesn't want to go to Cleveland?
Well, I don't think it's kind of almost like a set in stone, hey, LeBron told me he's out. But it's one of those things, just as a player, you're looking at that situation, it does not look like a stable situation. Again, stable situations don't fire their GM 2 days before the draft, and they certainly don't fire their GM when he's in the middle of negotiating to swing a huge blockbuster deal, right? That's just not what a stable organization does. When I say that, I mean, think of, could you ever see San Antonio doing this, or Miami, or Golden State? Like, no, they don't do that. Boston, you never see that in those cities. And so if you're Jimmy Butler, yeah, Chicago isn't a walk in the park. It's not on the same level as those four organizations I just named. But, you know, the old saying, the devil that you do know versus the devil that you don't.
I noticed you didn't mention the Knicks, because this is something the Knicks would do, and they've probably done it many times in the past. And your colleague Stephen A. Smith had a report earlier today that I hope is true, that this Kristaps Porzingis rumor that the Knicks would be looking to trade him was actually spawned by Porzingis and his brother and his agent in order to get pressure put on the Knicks and Phil Jackson to essentially get rid of Phil Jackson, because Porzingis
That's
would
insane.
Have more value.
That's insane.
I know, but I want to believe it. And when it comes to the Knicks, I don't think anything is unbelievable anymore. What do you make of the report? And if it's true, how would the Knicks handle Porzingis?
Well, the first thing I'll say is the original report wasn't that the Knicks were shopping him. It's that the Knicks were listening to phone calls. They received phone calls on it, and they were listening. So that's not a fallacy there. What Stephen A. said probably isn't a fallacy either, because This is a little-known factoid that people kind of slip under the radar. So DeMarcus Cousins, when he didn't want to get traded from Sacramento, everyone was like, why? Why wouldn't you want to leave this awful situation that's shown that they have no idea how to do things the right way? It's a very simple reason, because he was in line for the Supermax deal, and if he were to be traded, he would not be in line for it anymore. The Supermax language says you have to be with the team that basically you started your career with going into your seventh or eighth season or whatever. So if you're Porzingis, the only loophole to that rule is if you get traded in the first 4 years of your career. If you get traded in the first 4 years of your career, you are then eligible for that Supermax with your new team. So if Cousins, and obviously we didn't know that there would be a Supermax, but if Cousins had been traded earlier in his career, he would have been fine getting the hell out of it. But the fact was, at his point of his career, him getting traded cost him $70 million. Porzingis is looking at it like, look, if I'm going to have to commit to a franchise for 7-8 years to be able to get that extra money down the line, let me get out now. Let me not have to make that decision here in New York. Or if I do make it here in New York, let me make sure it's with someone who knows what they're doing and not Phil Jackson. And so I guess that's a long way of saying that I can't refute or confirm Stephen A's report, but it makes a lot of sense from the standpoint that Porzingis has a lot to gain from either leaving New York or leveraging Phil out of New York.
With Amin El-Hassan, ESPN NBA analyst, before we let you go and get back to the event down there in New York with Steve Nash, reports out there also that Houston may take a run at Kyle Lowry. Kyle spent the better part of four seasons there before coming to Toronto. How concerning should this be for Masai and the Raptors, this potential courtship with Houston and Kyle Lowry?
Well, I think any courtship of Kyle Lowry should worry the Raptors for a simple reason. He's eligible to sign a five-year max deal that starts in the summer north of $30 million. That doesn't mean that you should, right? And so what that means is you could very well offer him a very fair deal, but that's not the full max, and he could say, oh, I'm insulted. I'm going to go to another good situation. So Masai's in a tough spot here where you want Kyle Lowry to come back, but you don't want to break the bank or handcuff yourself 3 years from now with a bad contract by doing so. And so he's got to figure out how to make Kyle feel appreciated and wanted in Toronto without also kind of cutting off his own nose pretty much in the future.
He is Amin El-Hassan. He's down there hosting the Steve Nash Showdown tonight in New York. It's a charity soccer match featuring NBA and pro soccer players from around the world. And money is on its way to the Steve Nash Foundation. So it's working out to make some money and raise some awareness. I mean, it sounds like a pretty cool project you got going on down there.
It's awesome. Steve does this every year. This is the 10th anniversary of them doing it here in New York City at Sarah D. Roosevelt Park. Usually when we do these things, we say, hey, I hope you're in New York. You can come down. This is the first year we're doing it streaming live online so everyone around the world can watch this. Some great soccer players like Solomon Kalou are here. Some great basketball players. Joel Embiid is one of our celebrity coaches. Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, Jeremy Lin will be playing. We've got a great cast of people here, but most importantly, this is a charity for kids, for helping kids. And so when you go to that live streaming link and watch for free, there is also a donate button. We'd really, really appreciate it if you give whatever you can because, again, it's for a great cause and it's for Steve Nash. You know, he's Captain Canada.
That's right, man. You get a lot of people on board for that. StevenNash.org/showdown starting at 6 p.m. tonight. Thank you, Amin. Enjoy it down there.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Amin El-Hassan from ESPN.